Good morning. Morning. Welcome to the house of the Lord. We welcome each one of you this morning to worship with us. And I just have a few announcements before we get started. I do want to highlight next Sunday will be one service. There will be a teacher appreciation breakfast at 8:30 down in the fellowship hall for all those who are teachers here at the church. And then also next Sunday is the Kobe's Bike and Hike. So if you want to give to the Bike and Hike and help sponsor one of the youth, see some of the youth or anyone after the service and do that. It's a great great thing. From the early service, I understand that Ray and Sandy Keeney celebrated 56 years of being married to one another, and we want to wish them a happy anniversary. The altar flowers are in remembrance of Mike Dosh. Mike passed away last Sunday evening. And we want to continue to pray for the family. Any other announcements? Pastor Matt is away. He's at his cabin this weekend. We want to welcome Pastor Jason Good from the East Cocalico Church to be with us this morning, bring us our message. He sat in on my Sunday school class this morning, and I think we're in for a great message this morning. So let's stand and greet one another and then remain standing for opening hymn number 567, How Firm a Foundation.
Thank you.
As we move into a time of prayer this morning, I want you to look at the take a look at the prayer concerns in the bulletin. One that's there is Ruth Keeney. Ruth has a broken leg this past week, and I guess she had surgery Friday, I believe, or Thursday evening, maybe. I talked with Pastor Matt. He had been in to visit her. She had just been out of surgery and wasn't feeling the pain at that point, but he said he's sure that was be coming. And knowing Ruth, all Ruth said was, "You didn't have to come see me. I'm sorry to be a bother to you," and that's Ruth. So she is in the Reading Hospital. I guess she's still there. I don't have an update. She's till Tuesday. Okay. I'd just like to share a prayer concern. It sort of comes as an announcement. I saw the choirs are starting. Choir rehearsals start this week for the fall and for this next year. And I want you to just prayerfully consider singing in the choir. It's such a great ministry that we have here at Little Swatar. We're always looking for help. And I think, Diane, you're going to lead us again. Thank you, Diane. And Pam's going to play piano. And not just leading in worship on a Sunday morning, but the fellowship we have on a Thursday or a Wednesday evening, Thursday evening, even with the kids when they have rehearsals, it's just a blessing. So think about it, and that's my announcement for that. Anybody have any prayer concerns? Bob's going to be bringing a microphone around. We do want to continue to pray for Sharon and the girls and the death of Mike.
Tuesday's a good day for a lot of people. My mother is going back to independent living at Stone Ridge on Tuesday.
Very good.
And she is so excited about it. God is good.
Yes. Amen. I do want to share one other one from the early service. Jenny Lookinbill shared that her nephew Robert had the brain cancer has returned. And they are considering a terminal. So we want to pray for Jenny's nephew, Robert. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Thank you, Lord, that we can come before you, that we can rejoice in your Son Jesus, that we can truly call him our Savior. We pray, Lord, that as we go through this day, that we might live our lives for him, we might live our lives for you, by our actions, by our thoughts, by our spoken word. We pray that others might come to know you, come to know Jesus as their personal Savior. We pray for the opportunity to share. We pray for the experiences here on this earth to bring others to know you. We thank you for baptisms last Sunday, for the two young boys who asked Jesus to be their Savior. We just rejoice. We rejoice in homecomings, coming home from hospital, from extended care. It's such a good feeling to be home. We thank you for Mike's life here on this earth, and we know he's home now. We pray that you be with Sharon and the girls, and we just pray for comfort and healing from the grieving process. And we pray that we might be instruments and tools to help in that in any way we can. We pray for those who are hurting and for those who need physical healing. We pray for Marie Ziegler and for Ruth Keeney. We pray for others who are going through treatments and healing process. We pray for those who are facing death through disease. We pray for Robert. Pray for comfort in his life. Lord, we pray now for the church. We pray that we can be your tool to go out into this world that we can be disciples for you, that we can show others that you are our Lord and can be their Lord also. We just pray for guidance in all we do in our day-to-day living, and that we can leave this place rejoicing and being renewed for another week of work, school, and fellowship with others. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Hymn number 6. For offering this morning, I realize the importance of monetary offering on a Sunday morning, but I want us to do a different type of offering this morning besides collecting our normal offering. I want you to look who's sitting on your right, and if there's nobody to your right, look at somebody who's sitting in front of you. Now look at the person on your left. If there's nobody to your left, look at the person behind you. As we collect our offering this morning, I want you to give a different type of offering. I want you to just say a prayer for that person to your right or to your left or who's ever in front of you or behind you. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you that we can come before you and offer, collect this offering of monetary gifts. And we also pray that we can offer prayers for one another, that we can lift each other up to you, and that we can pray for whatever might be going on in that person's life at this time. Maybe it's just a thanks for that person, or maybe it's a prayer for guidance. We don't know the situation, but we just pray that you hear these prayers this morning, and we can offer this monetary offering to you. In your name we pray, amen.
I would like to invite the children forward for the children's moment. Yeah, it's okay. Don't be shy. I'm the new guy. It's all right. And I'll let you guys decide where you want to sit. You show me. On the floor, on the steps. You want to sit in the pew. In the first service, I had mostly girls, but I have mostly boys here this morning. Well, that's cool. I didn't do it. I'll stand over here. Yeah, that was pretty silly, wasn't it? Well, good morning. My name is Jason. And in a little bit, I'm going to be sharing a story about Joshua. I'm going to be talking to the big people out here about a guy named Joshua. Do you guys know who Joshua is from the Bible? All right, you had your hand up first. So who was he? You're right. And what else?
The Israelites.
Wow, they were the same people. Okay, yes, Joshua led the Israelites around the wall of Jericho. He was kind of a hero back then. Do you guys know any heroes? Do we talk about heroes or superheroes or anything today? Yeah. Do you have a favorite superhero? I'm sure you do if you thought about it. Well, Joshua was a little bit of a superhero. And yes, Joshua led the Israelites around Jericho and the walls came down. Joshua also led the Israelites through to their promised land. Now, if you remember, Moses brought them out of Egypt. But Moses did some things that God didn't like, and he wasn't allowed to enter the promised land, but Joshua took them into the place that God had wanted them to be. And so Joshua then became their leader. And so that's when Joshua marched around Jericho, took down the walls, and he did some pretty cool stuff. So Joshua was himself a superhero. He allowed God to work through him. God used him, and he did some really cool things. So that's what we're going to be talking about later on this morning. And I just want you guys to know that Joshua, when it was time for him to leave, when he was to die, Joshua wanted to make sure that the people that he was leading remembered that it was God who helped them through their times. And he wanted the people to know that God will be with them even when Joshua wasn't going to be there. So Joshua was telling the people to choose to follow God. And so knowing how strong Joshua was and how cool he was and all the things he did, he wanted the people to know that God's the one that did that. So Joshua, when he was about ready to leave the earth, he said, "But for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." He made the choice to serve God. So, as you go throughout your day and you're looking at things and ways to be some heroes and doing some cool stuff, remember to choose God. That God will be the one to help you through it. Okay? Let's pray. Father God, help us, like Joshua, to be strong in our faith and obey what your word commands. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for coming up. You may go back to your parents.
Thank you.
Our scripture this morning is taken from the 24th chapter of Joshua, verses 1 through 15. Then Joshua assembled all the tribes of Israel at Shechem. He summoned the elders, leaders, judges, and officials of Israel, and they presented themselves before God. Joshua said to all the people, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Long ago your forefathers, including Terah, the father of Abraham and Nahor, lived beyond the river and worshipped other gods. But I took your father Abraham from the land beyond the river and led him throughout Canaan and gave him many descendants. I gave him Isaac, and to Isaac I gave Jacob and Esau. I assigned the hill country of Seir to Esau, but Jacob and his sons went down to Egypt. Then I sent Moses and Aaron, and I afflicted the Egyptians by what I did there, and I brought you out. When I brought your fathers out of Egypt, you came to the sea, and the Egyptians pursued them with chariots and horsemen as far as the Red Sea. But they cried to the Lord for help, and he put darkness between you and the Egyptians. He brought the sea over them and covered them. You saw with your own eyes what I did to the Egyptians. Then you lived in the desert for a long time. I brought you to the land of the Amorites, who lived east of the Jordan. They fought against you, but I gave them into your hands. I destroyed them from before you, and you took possession of their land. When Balak, son of Zippor, the king of Moab, prepared to fight against Israel, he sent for Balaam, son of Beor, to put a curse on you. But I would not listen to Balaam, so he blessed you again and again, and I delivered you out of his hand. Then you crossed the Jordan and came to Jericho. The citizens of Jericho fought against you, as did also the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. But I gave them into your hands. I sent the hornet ahead of you, which drove them out before you, also the two Amorite kings. You did not do it with your own sword and bow. So I gave you a land on which you did not toil, and cities you did not build, and you live in them and eat from vineyards and olive groves that you did not plant. Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your forefathers worshipped beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord."
Well, good morning. My name is Jason Good. I come from the East Calico Congregation, where I am a licensed minister, and I am participating in the ACTS program. And I am got one more year left in that, so I'm on my way to ordination. I want to thank you all for allowing me to be here this morning, and I want to start with a word of prayer before we get into the sermon. Father, in this world of chaos and confusion, help us to constantly seek your joy and your truth. Help us to be the examples of Jesus to the world around us. Be near to us now as we study your word. Open our hearts and minds that we might be receptive to what you would say to us. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Over 20 years ago, there was a group of guys from our church at East Calico that went on canoeing trips down Pine Creek on the first weekend of every May. Now, I'm not sure if you all know where Pine Creek is, but it's in northern Pennsylvania, and it runs through the Pennsylvania Grand Canyon. It's a beautiful area. If you're able to get up there, I recommend getting up there sometime. But our group would head to the creek on Friday and canoe throughout Saturday into Sunday, and we would stay along the creek and have a typical camping experience. Now, it was a 39-mile run, And it could all be done in a day, but we decided as a group to take our time and do some outdoorsy stuff, fishing and hiking and anything else you can think of. We really made it a real camping experience. Now, my brother, my dad, and I were a part of these canoeing trips, and it's something that the three of us looked forward to every year. But as most things do, participation in these trips dwindled over the years until there was only a few of us that would go out every year. My brother and I were some of the last ones to go on these trips, which the last one occurred back in 1999. Now, over the years, my brother and I would reminisce about the trips and talk about all the crazy things that had happened and all of our experiences while we were canoeing. Then, in 2008, we decided to take our wives on one of our storied canoeing trips. Now, both our wives seemed pretty game for it, as they've heard so much about these trips and how awesome they were. Quite frankly, I think they agreed to go just to shut us up about the whole thing. Now, it had been almost 10 years since my brother and I had last been out, but we were both pretty confident that we knew the creek well enough and we could maneuver our way around it and find all the camping spots that we had been to. And somehow we convinced our wives that we could do it as well. So we traveled to Pine Creek on a Friday, and we started at the same spot that we have had started in years past. It was just like my brother and I had remembered. We recognized all the different areas that we used to stop to eat lunch at, all the places that we had passed before, and we even remembered the beginning of where the only rapids on the creek started. But somehow this time, we were actually able to bypass them. And as we approached the camping areas, we remembered the places that we had camped at and decided to start to stay at one of those for the night. Everything was going as planned. Saturday started out just as good. There was a little bit of a hint of a rain shower, but that quickly passed. And my brother and I were planning on where we were going to stop to stay for that night, as it was going to be the same place that we stayed at the last time that we went on one of these trips. We discussed what we remembered, how it looked, and what we were supposed to look out for. So we set off from our campsite and eventually stopped for lunch. We were certain the campsite was coming up. Another hour had passed, and we discussed it between ourselves and said, you know, it's coming up close, but just need to go a little bit further. Another hour after that had us questioning whether or not we knew what it was supposed to look like. And yet another hour after that, we eventually saw no camping signs posted along the creek. So we were at a crossroads. We found ourselves in the middle of this large creek, and we had a decision to make. We could take the chance of staying alongside the creek, where you're not supposed to camp, and risk the Game Commission coming after us, or we could just end our trip and canoe to the final destination that evening. So my brother and I came to terms that we weren't going to be able to stay along the creek and decided it would be just better for us to canoe to the end. So we set off down the creek, ready to take in the sights and the scenery around us. However, up ahead, the sky was getting pretty dark. The clouds continued to get bigger, and the further we got down the creek, the larger and darker the clouds were. We were out in the middle of this creek with nothing but trees and woodland creatures around us, and we had nowhere to go. My brother and his wife were ahead of us, and the further that we were canoeing down the creek, the further away they were getting from us, and we couldn't see them. So we were stuck in the middle of this creek with a storm around us, and we weren't sure quite what to do. Needless to say that you probably shouldn't be in the middle of the creek if a storm is coming, and so we decided just to paddle as hard as we could and try to get through it. Just then, sheets of rain started falling.
The wind was blowing so hard, it was blowing us backwards. We actually at one point got blown to the side of the creek and hit the bank. And then we were looking inside the canoe, and we were taking on so much rain that our belongings in the canoe started to float up. So we decided, my wife and I, that we needed to start bailing water, which meant that we couldn't paddle while we were bailing. So we're in the middle of Pine Creek, loaded with water, and getting blown all over the place. I looked at my wife at one point in the front of the canoe, and I think I saw her hands over her head, and she was shouting something. I don't know what she was saying. I probably didn't want to know what she was saying. But eventually, the storm let up enough that we were able to finish bailing water that we had managed to take on, and we were able to canoe to the end without stopping or losing anything. We finally made it to our destination, and thankfully, we saw my wife and his brother at the side of the bank. We all survived it and made it safely. Coincidentally, that was the last time that my brother and I went on a canoeing trip with our wives. Just as my brother and I, along with our wives, were at a crossroads not knowing which direction to go, so too were Joshua and the Israelites. They had conquered the surrounding nations and driven out the people, and now they were dividing up the spoils of land of war. They were dividing up the land, the resources, and anything else that was left behind. It was a comfortable time for the Israelites, and they very easily could have been caught up in the glory of their success. But God spoke through Joshua and challenged them to consider how they arrived at their present circumstances and where they were going from here. Joshua was also at the end of his life and was preparing the Israelites for life without him. As we look at Joshua chapter 24 and how it applies to us today, I would like to look at three things: reflecting on the past, making a choice, and finally making a declaration. I would first like to look at reflecting on the past. You know, we all come from different backgrounds and different walks of life. Now, some of you have grown up in the church all your life. Others may have come to know Christ later on in life. But no matter where you are or where you came from, I think it's safe to say that no one here can say they arrived to their present circumstances without the help of God. In chapter 24, through Joshua, God is reminding the Israelites from the beginning about where they were and how they got to where they're at. They were an enslaved people who broke free from their captors, and by God's divine guidance and protection, they traveled through the wilderness and the desert and arrived at the land that he promised Abraham many generations prior to that. Now, after a few hiccups in the desert, they arrived at Canaan, where they were to conquer the nations occupying the lands. Now, Moses wouldn't live to enter Canaan, but Joshua was to take over as leader and take them into the promised land. They conquered the nations around them with the help of God and their obedience to him. They were now heirs of the land promised to them many, many generations ago. But they didn't do it all on their own. It's at this time in their lives that it's important for the Israelites to be reminded of this, as it would be easy for them to become complacent and think that they're the reason why they got as far as they did. But it's at this time God wanted them to be reminded that he was the one that brought them as far as they had gotten. God reminds them of where they had been and what he had done to help them get to where they are. It didn't happen overnight, nor did it happen without any effort. The promise God gave Abraham many generations ago took time and energy to fulfill, but God was with them the entire time to see them through. It's important for us to remember and reflect on the times God has seen us through. Even though we're Christians, we can still have a tendency to forget how far we have come and take credit for our accomplishments. Regularly reflecting on what God has done in our lives helps us to stay grounded and keep us from overshadowing God's involvement. Now, some people keep a prayer journal where they record prayers they presented to God, and even times when those prayers have been answered. And I think this is a good thing to do because it's a tangible way to see God's work in your life. In the beginning of chapter 24, Joshua mentions all the ways God has been with the Israelites. What would your story look like if you were to reflect on the ways God has worked in your life? How many times has he parted the proverbial Red Sea for you? What joys can you find from the accomplishments he has helped you with? What are the desert moments in your life where you were wandering around trying to find your way? Take time to reflect on how you got to where you are. You didn't do it all by yourself. Take time to reflect on God's presence in your life. You've come this far for a reason and for a purpose. God was with you in the past, he's with you in the present, and he'll be with you in the future. The next part I would like to look at is making a choice. You know, today's society is filled with choices, from restaurants and grocery stores to buying houses and cars. We're a consumer-driven society that tries to please everyone. It's hard to sift through all those choices out there to find just the right one. Trust me, I live with a couponer who needs a coupon for everything that we do. Our choices are made based on the coupons that we possess. You know, so we sometimes start out wanting to go out for lunch, and by the time we find the right coupon, actually are going out for supper. Now, I might be exaggerating just a little on that one. But it is true that we live in a society filled with choices, and it's tough for us to make that right choice. As Christians, we've decided to accept Christ as our Savior, but now we need to decide how we live our daily lives. There are a lot of things competing for our attention and our dedication. We can often find ourselves slipping away from God and veering towards worldly focus. As with the Israelites Joshua was talking to, he noticed the same thing could happen. Because of the various nations they conquered, there were a lot of different cultures and religions in the area as well, not to mention that the Israelites came from Egypt, which would have had a lot of different gods and idols that the Egyptians worshipped. This would have no doubt influenced the Israelites to some degree. And this is what God is talking about through Joshua in the second part of Joshua chapter 24, verse 14, when he says, "Throw away the gods your forefathers worshipped beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord." Then in verse 15, he says, "But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living." When Joshua says this, he's saying that they can no longer live ambiguously and worship both the God Almighty and the gods of the nations they conquered. He's telling them that they need to make a choice. His actual words are, "Choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve." Joshua is telling them not to wait any longer to make their decision. He's also saying to choose for themselves, not make their decisions based on what he is saying or what the rest of the group does. Choose for yourselves. Make the decision from your heart. Joshua has already made the case for choosing God and has told the people that they can't serve other gods and serve the Lord at the same time. But make the decision, either serve the Lord or serve the other gods. Choose this day, not tomorrow, not a week from now, but today. We need to choose this day whom we will serve. Don't hold on to the things of this world. It's a balancing act that we can't maintain. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, no one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. Make the choice. No one is going to make that choice for you. No one can make you come to church on a Sunday morning when you're waking up after a long night and don't feel like coming in. No one can make you pick up the Bible instead of the remote in the evening. No one can make you volunteer your time to help someone in need. It's our choice. Choose for yourselves this day and make a choice. But if you choose serving the Lord, then do it with all you've got. Which brings me to my final point, make a declaration. At the end of verse 15 in chapter 24, after asking the Israelites to remember what God has done for them, after instructing them to make a choice, Joshua says, "But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." With this declaration, he is telling them that it doesn't matter what anyone else is doing. He and his family and those living with him are going to choose to serve the Lord. It's his declaration, his commitment to giving his life to God. It wasn't enough for Joshua to say that he's going to serve the Lord, that just he was going to serve the Lord, but he included his household as well. That means he was going to make sure that those living with him knew what it meant to serve the Lord as well, be it by example or by instructions. This is a bold statement to make and not one to make lightly. But this was Joshua's way of saying he was committed to God. He was going to do anything in his power to serve God. As we live out our lives, we should strive to make bold declarations such as this one. Now, we can do this by making statements against things that interfere with our faith. When we start making choices in our lives that honor God, we can then have the confidence to make bold declarations to the world that we are living to honor God. Our very lives can be the statement to people that we are living for God. In doing this, we should strive to live by the example Jesus had gave for us. But it's through Jesus that we are able to make the choices in our lives that reflect our decision to follow God. And when we choose to follow God, we are following in the footsteps of his Son and our Savior. Then, and only then, can we make a declaration to the world and say, "As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." I leave you with this. Take time to reflect on how God has been working in your life. You'll be surprised to see just how much he has brought you through. Make a choice to follow his direction and follow the example that Jesus set for us. Then make a declaration to the world. And don't make any compromises. Choose this day to serve the Lord and let your life be the statement that says, "As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." Let's pray. Father God, thank you for seeing us through the desert times in our lives and helping us conquer those things in our lives that will get in the way of living for you. Help us to make choices that reflect your presence in our lives, and help us to make a bold statement to the world that says we serve the one, true, and almighty God. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Please rise for the closing hymn. Hymn number 395, "Here I Am, Lord." As we part for today, I leave you with these words. May the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.